We begin the current daf in Sefer Ksuvos daf Kof Zayin. We begin on the bottom of Kof Vav and Beis, two lines up at the bottom of the Amud. But the Gemara now returns to the discussion of our Mishnah, which opened up this Perek, which we spoke about up until now, the introductory parts of the Mishnah regarding the two the Yonah Gezeris that were there, where that was one of them was Chanan, who there were two things that he said where the Chacham argued in them. So the first idea which is mentioned in our Mishnah is Misha Halach L'Medin Sayam. If a man went overseas, and now in the interim his wife comes to Bezna and says, I need food to live, he's overseas, and no one's supporting me. So they go to his estate, and they feed her from the estate. The only thing is, the machlek is about, do they make her take an oath now, when she wants to get fed? Or is the oath only required at the end, when she wants to collect her ksuba? Now, related to this topic of the Mishnah, the Gemara introduces the following machlek is Amaram. It might we learned. Rav Amar Rav says, as we continue on top of Kofzayin and Medalf, we provide sustenance for a married woman. In other words, the Bezdin, the courts go into the man's estate who went overseas. And from there, they provide a source of nourishment and sustenance for the woman because her husband's not around. He says, no, in we do not provide food for the woman that's a married woman with if her husband went away. Now, Amar Shmuel, Shmuel says, Maidili Abba, which is honorific for Rav, Rav agrees to me, the first 3 months that he went away on his overseas trip, that Rav would agree to me that we don't provide her sustenance. The reason being is, a man doesn't leave his house totally bereft, totally empty. And therefore, for sure, she has food at least for the first 3 months. So although Rav argues on me, but the first 3 months he would agree that we don't give her any sustenance. Now, the Gemara qualifies their machlekes. When the news came that the husband who went overseas died, so nobody is going to argue, even Shmuel is going to agree, that we're paiskin lamazainus, that we provide for our sustenance. Now the reason being is because, in contrast to which the Gemara will shortly explain, that when they do argue, when they didn't hear any notification that he died, there are two reasons given by the Amiram, what's the reasoning of Shmuel. In this case, you don't have either one of those concerns. In other words, if, let's say, we would be concerned that what's called Srori Atfasa, that maybe, how can we give her mazainus? How do we know? Maybe he gave her money. He said, I'm going for a year. Here's this amount of money, and go ahead, you could buy yourself food. Now, she's making believe she doesn't have money, and she's going to eat from his estate because the courts are going to give her food. That's not a concern when they hear that he's dead, because ultimately, if he dies first, she's definitely going to be able to collect her ksuba at some point because it's not her dying first. So at the time when she's going to collect her ksuba, she's going to have to make an oath that she doesn't have any extra money which she gave her, and then Srori Atfasa is going to be revealed. So therefore, obviously, she doesn't have any extra money because even if she does that he had given her, she's not going to be able to then collect her ksuba. And if it's the other reasoning given, which is that how can we give her mezainis? Maybe he told her, which means to say that the husband has the option of telling his wife, I'm not feeding you. Take your earnings that you get at your job and provide for yourself. And if she accepts, which maybe this is what happened, then she doesn't get sustenance from his estate. That doesn't apply when they hear that he's dead because the woman is not meshubet to her husband for her maisei dayim, for her earnings when he's dead. But as a widow, she does get sustenance from the estate. And therefore, he has to give her mezainis, and there's no problem about saying that he wouldn't have to give her because she could use her own ma'aseh dayim because that's only when her ma'aseh dayim are meshubet to him, and then he's saying, okay, don't give it to me, and then I won't give you mezainis. That doesn't apply when he's dead. Now, and if you're going to say, but as Rashi explains, but the same coordination between her and her husband applies also between her and the orphans, and maybe they're going to tell her that si ma'aseh dechab mezainisecha. What do you mean? Don't take from the estate. You're here, you said that your husband, our father, died. Fine. But then take your earnings and keep it for yourself and don't take mezainis from us. And then Rashi says that can't be the case because even the husband can't tell her against her will that do this. It's her prerogative. She has that option. But here, well, obviously, she wants sustenance where she's coming to say, I want sustenance, and we heard that he's dead. The orphans can't tell her that because that's her option. The only thing is, in general, as the Gemara will shortly explain, we don't know, maybe she did agree to that before he had left. And so therefore, when they hear news that he died, nobody argues, even Shmuel would agree, that we provide her sustenance. Ki plegi b'shaloi shamu boi shemes. The machlekes Rav Shmuel is, when he goes overseas, and odds are he's still alive, we didn't hear any reports that he's dead. So Rav Amar Paiskin, Rav says, you have to go ahead and provide her through the courts sustenance. A married man, even if he's dead, has to give his wife sustenance. So therefore, if we don't see her having sustenance, we have to go provide for her. Ushmul Amar Im Paiskin, but Shmuel says, no, we don't go ahead and establish going into his properties to give her sustenance. My time, what's the reason? So those are the two different reasons that we brought relation to when we hear that he's dead, which we said they don't apply. Here, if we don't hear that he's dead, there's two reasoning given by the Maram. What's the reason for Shmuel why we don't give him a zaynus? Rav Zvidam, he says, Ema, we could say, that Sarari, maybe there was a bundle of money that Atfasa that he gave to her in her hand from a zaynus. And therefore, we don't know. Maybe he gave her. So how can we go to his estate and take away what's really his? He owns the money, not his wife. But how can we give her if maybe he had this operation with her about that he's giving her the money before him? Rav Papa may give it a different reason. He says, Chashin and Shema Amala were concerned that maybe he told her, maybe he told her, look, I usually give you sustenance. And you usually give me your work. I'm going overseas. Do me a favor. Go ahead, whatever you're going to work, take those earnings and use it for your own sustenance. So I'm not going to be feeding you, but you won't give me your Maisi dime. And she accepted. We don't know. Maybe she accepted that. If that's the case, so her earnings are really in place of the mezainis, and she's not supposed to get fed from this estate. And since we don't know this, we have to be concerned with that. We can't go ahead and just take from his money to give her from mezainis. So the Gemara might by now, what's the difference between the interpretation of Zvid and of Papa about what's the logic of Shmuel's halacha? So the Gemara says two differences. Ikebenayu, either by a gedola, an adult wife, where she's obviously mature enough that he could give her a bundle of money for the amount of time that he's going overseas. But v'lei safka. And it's told me that she doesn't have enough sustenance by the meager earnings that she makes, either because it's a hunger year or because she's not such a worker. So therefore, it comes out, the concern of tsrari of a bundle of money applies because she's an adult. But regarding the concern of maybe he told her, use your earnings for your sustenance, that's not a concern because since it's not enough, again, either because it's a hunger year or because she's not such a good worker, so she would never have accepted such a deal. So that would be a difference between those two halachas. Inami, or another one, is the opposite way. Kitana, we're talking about that the wife is a minor, is a young girl, but she's a worker. And we're talking about that it's regular year, it's not a hunger year. And Visafka, and therefore she has enough for herself to provide for her own work. So according to Rav Zvid, we would still give her mezainis. Because since a person wouldn't generally give a large bag full of coins to a minor girl, who is his wife, therefore there's no such concern. But according to Rav Papa, we would not give her mezainis. The reason being is because since he definitely could have told the Tzimai Sidecha mezainisecha, because it's not a hunger year and she's a good worker and she makes a lot of money, therefore according to that interpretation of Rav Papa, we would not give mezainis. And those are the two differences between the reasoning of the halach of Shmuel, why he holds that when we didn't hear reports that he's dead, that we say we not paiskin la mezainis. Now the Gemara asks a series of questions on this halach of Shmuel, in which he argues in Rav, and then he says that ein paiskin mezainis. When a married man goes overseas, we don't know. We can't necessarily give the wife mezainis because of the circumstances, either because of tzrori atfaso, or because we're concerned that maybe he told a tzimai sedecha mezainisecha. So the first question is not from our Mishnah, which we open up from that line on this daf, that it says in the Mishnah, Mishnah halach lemedina sayam, if someone overseas, v'ishtoi tavas mezainis, and his wife is claiming sustenance. Look, he's gone for such a long time. Okay, first 3 months, fine, he didn't leave it bare, but now I have nothing to eat. Please get me from his estate. So Chanan Amar, he says, tishave b'saif, v'loi tishave b'tchal, he says that the woman does not have to make an oath now in the beginning when she's coming to collect her sustenance. Rather, only at the end when she's coming to collect her ksuba, because at that point in time, anyway, the truth is going to come out because she's going to have to make a shvua, and nobody wants to make a shvua. B'sheker, she's going to have to say, oh, it's true, I really had money, I really had this operation, and I wasn't supposed to get mezainis, and then she won't be able to collect her mezainis. I mean, she won't be able to collect her ksuba, and therefore there's no point in making the oath right now. On that, Nechel Kulav, B'nekan G'daylam Amra, on that, the sons of the Kan G'daylam argued on Chanan and said, no, Teshav B'tchilu B'saif. Rather, she has to make an oath at the beginning, at the end, as we explained in the Mishnah, because maybe she's going to die before the husband, and she's never going to collect her ksuba, and then it's going to come out that she ended up getting double the amount of mezainis. One is, let's say, tzrori atfasa, he gave her a bunch of money, and Bezin gave it, therefore we don't give it, even in the beginning, for mezainis, unless she makes an oath first. Now, that's what we had in our Mishnah. And on that, the Gemara asked a question on Shmuel. Ad kan loy pligi. So the whole machlik is Chana and the B'nai Kam Gedolim was Ela in Yeshvuah. Only regarding, do we make her take an oath right now when we're going to give her sustenance from her husband's estate? But according to everybody, we're giving her sustenance. Only question is, you have to make a Shvuah. That contradicts Shmuel, who says when the married man goes overseas, we don't give his wife sustenance. So that the Gemara explained, Targum Shmuel, Shmuel interprets the halacha of our mission is Toma, B'Shashama, B'Shameis. When we hear news that he died, and that is as we explained before, there you don't have either concern of Tzrari Atfasa or Tzimai Sedechman Zanesecha, either because Tzimai Sedechman Zanesecha doesn't apply when he's dead, because then she's not obligated to give her, to give him her Maisei Daim. And regarding Tzrari Atfasa, either not a concern, because at that point in time, since he's dead and he died first, definitely she is going to be able to collect the ksuba, and she won't be able to collect the ksuba, and therefore, according to everybody, the halacha is going to be that the woman could go ahead and get sustenance even when he's overseas, because you heard reports that he had died. So it's not difficult on Shmuel. So the Gemara continues asking on Shmuel. Tashma, we learned the Braisam. Some of them went overseas, and his wife is petitioning for sustenance. So B'nei Kohanim Gadolim Omrim, the sons of the Kohanim Gadolim said, as they say in our Mishnah, so Tishava, so she has to take an oath. Chanan Omer Loi Tishava, he says, no, she doesn't have to take an oath, which is essentially similar to the question we asked from our Mishnah, where, but it sounds like that according to everybody, that you give her Mezayin, it's only a question if she has to take an oath or not. Now, additionally, this Brisa says, V'mbava Amar, Pesakta Le Mezayinis. If eventually the husband comes and says, after he has his trip from overseas, he says, what do you mean? I already gave her sustenance, meaning because I had given her what's called a tzrori atfas, I gave her a pile of coins to provide for herself. What are you doing taking from my possession? So then the Braisa says, Neman, the husband's believed if he takes an oath that that's what he did. And then the woman would have to give back to the courts what she had taken in the interim when he was away. But one thing we see from the Braisa is that according to everybody, we give her food. Only question is about the Shvuah. And that the Gemara says, it's like we answered before. It's talking about that we heard that he's dead. We heard that he's dead. So then, either way, there's no concern about giving her mezainis, because even Tzrari Atfasa will be revealed when she collects the ksuba, and there's no problem about Maisei Daim because he's dead. That the Gemara asks, how can you say that? And that's why we're asking from this Braisa. But if you looked at the end of the Braisa, it says, but when he comes back from the trip, and he says, I had already given her a pile of coins, so then he's believed, so obviously he's not dead. Nothing more answers, no. Imbo la'achar shmua. Yes, they heard that he was dead, and therefore they gave him a zaynus. Only question is, does she have to take an oath or not? But it's told me that if after they heard that he's dead, and they went through with it, but then it turns out he's really alive, and he comes back, then he's believed to say that he had given mezainis, but it's told by Shashama Shemes, and that's why it's not difficult according to Shmuel. Zigmar continues asking, Tashama Lin Nabraisa. Mishalach Lemedin Sayam, Vishta Tivas Mezainis. This person goes overseas, his wife is claiming sustenance. Now the Gir says, Im Bova Amar, so if he comes and he says, as we said previously, Tzimai Sedecha Mezainisah, he says, what do you mean? Go take your own earnings for your sustenance. So we're sure he's permitted to do that. But Kadmu Bezdin Upasko, but let's say Bezdin, since he had gone away, they didn't hear from him, and Bezdin goes first and they set for her Mezainis, so even though he ends up coming, he says, what do you mean? Let her take her earnings, but Masha Pasko Pasko, what they already had set aside for her for Mezainis, is valid. Now, one thing that we see is that, however, when he's away, they're allowed to be placed with Mezainis, not like Shmuel. So now the Gemara answers, here it's also talking about that they heard that he's dead, even though ultimately ended up coming and saying, what do you mean? Let her take her earnings for her own sustenance. But since they heard that, so therefore there wasn't any concern, and that's why they were allowed to give her mezainis. Tashima, the Gemara continues in asking from the following braisa. Again, the same context, the man goes overseas, his wife is claiming sustenance. So Bezdin Yardin Lachasa, the courts go into his property, the Zanin Umefarnas and Leishte, they provide sustenance and other needs for his wife, but not for his sons or daughters, and neither for something else, which Gemara will shortly explain what's that something else. But one thing we see from this question is you can't give the same answers you gave before. If it was too much a shamar by Shemesh that they heard that he's dead, well then the sons and daughters would also get. Sons would inherit him, the daughters would get ksubas, they would get from, as it says in the ksuba, that they get fed, in benon nukvan. And so why is the wife, if we didn't hear that he's dead, so then why is the wife provided sustenance? Obviously we see like Rav, not like Shmuel. So that Amr of Sheishas says no. B'masha es ishtei adei shalish. We're talking about a specific case We're talking about where the husband, before he went overseas, appointed an apotropos, a third party, to provide for her sustenance. But it's some time now that the apotropos has been lax in providing the needs of the woman. Now, and that is what the woman's claiming. So give me sustenance. He's not doing the job he's supposed to be doing. Now, as Rashi explains, now you don't have either one of those concerns which are the foundation of Shmuel's opinion why we don't give her mezainis. There's no concern of that he gave her a pile of coins, because he obviously didn't, because he provided someone else to give the sustenance. And obviously he also didn't tell it that I'm not giving you mezainis at all and use your earnings, because he did, he appointed someone. It's just that that person being negligent, therefore the courts, even according to Shmuel, would be allowed to provide her sustenance in such a case. Now that the Gemara asks, if that's the case, that we're talking about that he had appointed a third person to provide her sustenance, well then even Banav Benaisav Nami, then his sons and daughters should also be provided, because obviously if he appointed a caretaker, obviously he cares about his family and wants to provide for them sustenance, so then why would the sons and daughters be any different than the mother, than the wife? So that the Gemara answers, it's not difficult. He only provided appointed a person who said, "I want you to take care of my wife's sustenance," but it didn't make him for the children. That the Gemara asks, "My Pascha, where do you see fit to make such a division? Why would someone, if you're saying that that's the case of the Braisa, that he made an apotropos make just for his wife and not for his children?" So Elamar Papa, rather Papa gives a different interpretation, and that will explain why there's a difference between the wife and the children, and also why it's not difficult according to Shmuel. We have to say it's Kishashama by Shemes. Obviously, because according to Shmuel, we didn't hear that there was a death, and the previous interpretation of an apotropos doesn't work. So it's talking about that we heard that he was dead. But Be'ed Echad, the news that we heard was based on the testimony of one witness. Up until now, we were saying with two witnesses, then we could base halacha on that. Here we're talking about with one witness. But the fundamental difference is he de'ibayis in suv be'ed echad, the wife that's allowed to remarry based on the testimony of one witness, which is a chiddush, it's a novelty in the halachas of iguna, allowing her to remarry. So matzi minseva, she, if she wants, she can get married. So mezonin namayavinla, so based on that same testimony, we allow her also to get sustenance from that. Because regards to her, the halacha has ramifications with one witness. But regarding his sons and daughters, regarding their halachic context, which was to go to his estate to use it for inheritance or for benan nukvin to get sustenance, they can't go based on the testimony of one witness and go into his estate. So therefore we also don't give them sustenance, because for them, one witness doesn't have relevance. And that's the difference between the two cases. So it's not difficult according to Shmuel, because it is b'shashama l'shemes, but it's only through Eid Echad, which only works for the wife and not for the children. Now, parenthetically, the Gemara asks, "My dava acher, what was this other thing that we said that for the man that went overseas, we don't spend his money on it, and we don't spend on the children, we only give it to the wife? What's the case talking about?" So Rav Chisda Amay says, "Tachshit." It's a reference to the wife's ornaments. And Rav Yosef HaMetzdaki says that's a reference to charity. So the Gemara explains, Manda Matachshad, according to the pin that says that we don't give her ornaments. So Kolshkin, all the more so for sure, he would agree, as we can see on Tamid Beis, that tzedakah, regarding charity, that the courts are not allowed to go ahead and go into his estate to give charity to the poor people at a time when the rest of the city, there's a tax from the Gaboi tzedakah to give charity, that obviously if the guy's away and he's not willing to give, he's not here to be talked to, we can't, if we're not going to give his wife her tachshitin, we're definitely not giving charity. But mandam tzedakah, according to the opinion that says what we're not giving while he's away is charity, avot tachshit, regarding the besamim, where it's some type of fragrances that the wife decorates, that she uses it to beautify herself, that mandam would hold that yavinallah. It's only tzedakah that we don't give while he's away, but we do allow her wife to get her tachshitin, because delay nichale the tinfal. He doesn't want, even though he's away, for his wife to be repulsive, and therefore, even though he's away, we would give the tachshitin according to that mandama. So the Gemara continues trying to disprove the opinion of Shmuel. Toshima, within the Braisa, seemingly not like Shmuel. The Braisa says hayavama, which we're talking about a shemeres yavam, a woman that her husband died without any children, and she's waiting for either yibam chalitza from her late husband's brother, who is called the Yavam. So Gimel Chadash Merushalim, the first 3 months after her husband passed away, where she's not permitted to get married or to do Yibum, because we have to be able to differentiate if she is pregnant from a previous husband or not. So that takes 3 months to recognize. So in that period, Nizaynis Mishal Bala, she gets fed from her late husband's estate. The reason being is because it's because of him that she's in the situation where she can't marry anyone else. Now with Mikan Ve'elach, ain't in Nizaynis, but after that 3 month period, she doesn't get fed. Not from a husband, and neither from the Yavam, because she's not yet had Yibum, and neither is she still not allowed to do anything based on her husband's estate. Now it's up to the Yavam to do something. Now, if Amad Bedin, if she brings the Yavam to court, and she tells him, look, either do Yibum with me, marry me, or do Chalitza and let me move on. Ubarach, and then he flees. So the halacha is Nizaynis Mishal Yavam. So in that period, while he's away, she gets fed from the estate of the Yavam. So you see that when someone goes away that there's a relationship with, they could get fed from that person's estate, and we're not concerned for the halacha of Shmuel. So on that, the Gemara says, Amlucha Shmuel, Shmuel would tell you, what do you mean? I would agree here too, because Lamai Nechesh Lalahai, what concern would there be in the case of the Shemeres Yavam? There's two interpretations in my halacha. Imishim Tsarari, if it's because of the concern that maybe there's a pile of coins given to that person for Mezainis, and therefore how can you go ahead and get Mezainis from that person's estate? That doesn't apply over here by Shemeres Yavam. Le Mikrova Daiti Lagaba. They don't have such a close relationship yet. It was her brother-in-law, and he didn't consummate the relationship yet. So of course there's no concern to say that he gave her a pile of coins, and he just ran away. So of course we can go ahead and get from his estate. And Imishim Maisi Dan, if it's because of my other interpretation in my halacha, which is because that maybe he told her, look, you know, use your earnings for your sustenance. That's Le Mishtabdile. Here, Shemeres Yavam is not Mishabit. Her earnings don't go to the Yavam. And therefore, there's no concern to say that that was what he had made up with her. And therefore, since he is obligated to go ahead and either do Yibum or Chalitza, and he's not doing it, and he runs away, so therefore, we could penalize him and make him give it, and he definitely didn't tell her, because he can't tell her that, because she doesn't even owe him her Ma'isi Daim. So the Gemara continues, Toshima, we learn the Braisa. Ha'isha shahol chahiyya bailam din zayam. Again, if a woman with her husband goes overseas, ubas ba'am remeis bailam, but she comes back from the trip and she says, my husband died. So the halacha is ratzas on nizayin. If she wants to, she could get fed, because whether he died or not, it doesn't make a difference, because she, even if her husband died, she's like an amana who gets fed from the estate. Ratzas on gaiva ksubasa, and if she wants, she could collect her ksuba. Now, the reason being is because a woman is believed to say that my husband died to be able to remarry. Now, in that, the Gemara says in Masechet Yevamah, is just like she's believed to remarry, so too she's believed now to take the ksuba. As the Gemara there says in Masechet Yevamah, is that we learn that from the ksuba itself. The ksuba says, "Keshetinasi la'acha," the husband tells the wife, when you marry someone else, "titli masha kastavlecha," then you'll take what I wrote to you, meaning in the ksuba. Now, since based on halachas of iguna, we allow the woman to remarry based on her own testimony, so therefore, we also allow her to collect the ksuba, because now by default, the ksuba is saying, you're marrying someone else, now you can take the ksuba. Now, however, the Braisa continues, if let's say the woman comes back and says, my husband didn't die, I'm not a widow, but Gershani Bali, we got in a big fight, and my husband divorced me. So the law is, misparneses vahileches, she could continue getting provided by the husband's estate, at kedek ksubasa, up until the amount of how much was written in her ksuba. Now, the reason being is because she cannot collect her ksuba, because maybe, and that's why it's saying only that she could provide it with sustenance, but she can't just cash out and take her ksuba, because maybe he didn't divorce her. We didn't believe a wife, we only believed her that her husband died, but we never believed a woman that her husband divorced her, but we do provide her with sustenance, like a regular wife. We know he's alive, and we don't believe her that she's divorced in regards to the collection of the ksuba. So therefore, either way you look at it, she could collect her ksuba. Because if he actually did divorce her, so now she's taking her ksuba, because we allow her to get sustenance up until the amount of the ksuba. And if she's true that what she's saying, that she got divorced, so let her take that ksuba. And if not, because we don't necessarily believe her that her husband divorced her, well then he's obligated to provide her with sustenance like a regular wife. So either way, that allows us to give her mezainis up until the amount of the ksuba. But one thing that we see is that even though her husband's overseas, and forget about it, let's say we don't believe it that she's saying that her husband's divorced her, she can get mezainis, now it's only up to the ksuba, as the Gemara will shortly explain, But we see that she can get mezayin. So you see, not like Shmuel. He said that if a husband's overseas, we don't, because maybe it's Tzvarat Fasa, maybe he said Simas Tech Mezayin Secha. So that the Gemara answers, as I said in the previous Raya, we're also talking about that we heard that he's dead. Since we heard that he's dead, so the two reasons of Shmuel do not apply, and that's why we can give her her mezainis. Now that the Gemara asks, if so, so maishnat kidei ksubasa, then why do we only allow her to get sustenance up until the amount of ksuba, if the halacha is that you could continue getting mezainis because the husband's dead and there's no reasons to limit the mezainis? So now the Gemara says, no, because although we know that we heard that he's dead, so there's definitely nothing withholding her, even according to Shmuel, from collecting mezainis. Now, and even though we don't believe her that she's divorced, so now she should not be limited for the amount of the ksuba. But the reason being is because the ihihi da avsi da nafsha. She causes the loss to herself because she said, and the person believed for liability on themselves, she said, he divorced me. Now, a grusha, divorcee, doesn't get sustenance. So we can't let her get sustenance. Now, then, as Rashi explains, the question then becomes, so if you're saying you're limiting her to get sustenance up until the ksuba, because she's saying I'm divorced, if I'm divorced, I can't get sustenance. So we allow her to get sustenance, because, at least up until the ksuba, because we heard that he's dead. So there's no shmuel concerns of sustenance. But why can't she get more? Because she said, I'm divorced. I'm divorced, you don't get mezainis. So therefore you get only up until the amount of the ksuba. But then Rashi says, if so, so since we heard that he's dead, so why can't she collect the ksuba in one time? Because either way you look at it, if she's divorced, so a divorcee gets a ksuba. And if he's dead, which we heard that he's dead, so she also collects a ksuba. So why does she have to only continue getting mesparnes by leches if we're not even giving her in the halachic context of mezainis, because she claimed that she's divorced and the divorce doesn't get that? Slowly but surely up until ksuba, just let her cash out at one time from her ksuba. So Rashi says the truth is that that would be the halacha. The reason why the Braisa says misparneses vaylechas, that it's only at a steady pace, is only if she doesn't want to take it in the halachic concept of a ksuba. Because she thinks maybe he's not dead. And truthfully is that, and we don't believe her, that she's not divorced. So she would rather take it in the halachic context of mezainis. Because if her husband ends up coming back, if she was taking it all up until now based on the halach of mezainis, not from ksuba, her ksuba will still be intact. So that's why we provide for her parnasa up until the amount of ksuba, but not more than that, because she doesn't want to take it at one time. She could take it at one time, but she doesn't want to, because maybe he's still alive. If he's still alive, and I'm not really divorced, so we're still married, so I could take it within the framework of mezainis, and then when he comes back, then I could collect my ksuba, because up until now, I wasn't collecting from the halach of ksuba, I was collecting from the halacha of mezainis. But be that as may, it's not difficult on Shmuel. Because again, we're talking about a case where we heard Shoshama Bushemes. So the Gemara continues asking, Toshma, learn the Braisa. Kitzat Amru Mema'enes in Lemezainis. The Braisa is trying to clarify a halacha that we know of, which says that a Mema'enes, a minor girl that was married off by either her mother or her brother, such as a rabbinic marriage, which gives the rabbis give her the option of opting out of the marriage, so she could do Mian. So Allah is a Mema'enes doesn't get sustenance. Now the question is, what is the context of the halacha? It can't be told when she's still married because Shari Balach Avim Zainas. Her husband, even though she could opt out at any point in time, and even retroactively it's like it's not a marriage, but when she's still there, then her husband's obligated to feed her. And if it's when she already did Mian, of course he doesn't have to feed her because she's not married to him anymore. So what is the halacha that a Mema'enes doesn't get Mezainas? So Ella, rather, Braisa says, it's told my kugoyin shahalach bailat le medina sayam, where her husband goes overseas and loves sava achla. Now she borrows and she eats, which generally the halacha is, that the husband would have to compensate. Now, amda miyana, but this girl, her husband went overseas and he's gone for a long time, and she's borrowing food because the husband has to feed her and she doesn't have, so she's borrowing where he's going to pay back. But instead of waiting for that, she says, no, I'm done with this. He's not coming back for such a long time. She just gets up, she does mean, and she walks away, which she's allowed to. So that's the case. When he comes back, he says, you're a ma'enis. I don't have to pay up for the sustenance that you ate while I was away. Now that the question is, time of the miyano, it sounds like only because she did miyun. Haloi miyano yavin Allah. But if she didn't do miyun and she remained married, sounds like that then he would have to give and pay back for the sustenance that she borrowed. In other words, that it was rightfully done, that there was a collection of mezainis for the woman while the husband was overseas. And that we're not concerned with tzoriat fasa. And that we're not concerned for tzimais derech b'mezainis sayach. So that seems to refute Shmuel. So now Amalach HaShmuel Shmuel would tell you, no, I agree in this halacha. Because, again, we're talking about a minor. We're saying that a minor, if she doesn't do mian, then yes, then there would be an obligation of mezainis, even though he's overseas. Because hachala mai nechesh la, here my two reasons don't apply. What is their concern? Imishim tsrari, if it's because like the interpretation given of maybe he gave her a pile of money, that's not true. Tsrari l'ktan or lematvas, no one trusts a pile of money with a minor girl. So therefore, that's not a concern. And the imishim maisi den, if it's because maybe he told her, let your earnings go ahead and take the place of the mezainis that I would normally give you, and therefore you have no rights to take. But ktan or leisafka, generally a minor doesn't make enough money to cover. And therefore, there's no reason to have the concern. And therefore, Shmuel says, I would agree in this case. So therefore, there's no refutation of the interpretation of Shmuel. So the Gemara says, Mahavalas, what was the conclusion regarding this machlekes of Rav and Shmuel when the husband goes overseas and the woman's claiming mezainis? Do we give her or do we not? So the Gemara says, Ki asra Rav Dimi, when Rav Dimi came, he said, the Maisa Balef Nei Rabbi Beishar. He came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel and he says that such an incident happened and came in front of Rebbe in Beis Shearim, upasuk lamezainis, and he set for her sustenance from the husband's estate, which is like Rav. Lifnei Rebbe Shmuel b'Tzipari says, however, a different story in Eretz Yisrael, and Tzipari came in front of Rebbe Shmuel, v'loy pasuk lamezainis, and he did not set for her sustenance, like Shmuel. Now, Toi bar Rebbe Yochanan wondered regarding this halacha of Rebbe Shmuel and Tzipari. Says, v'chima ro Rebbe Shmuel sh'loy pasuk lamezainis. What did Rebbe Shmuel see fit not to set for her sustenance? But regards to the halacha of our Mishnah, which we had used this to ask on the Amud Aleph, but what do you mean? Even the whole machlikas in our Mishnah between the sons of the Kohen Gadol and Chanan was elin yeshvua. When the husband goes overseas and his wife wants mezainis, their whole machlikas was, do we make her take an oath now or not? But according to everybody, we give her sustenance. Why is it Rabbi Shmuel in Zippori didn't give the woman sustenance? So only Rav Shemin Bar Abba, he answered to Rabbi Yechon, he says, Kvar Tigma Rabbeinu Shmuel b'Bavel. Our teacher Shmuel already answered this question. In Bavel, is Toma Kesha Shama b'Shemes. The only reason why in our Mishnah everyone agrees that we give her sustenance is because we heard that he's dead. Where the two halachas and concerns of Tzroriat Fasa and Tzimai Sedech Mitzin Nesecha don't apply, but generally, like Rabbi Shmuel is concerned for and not giving her mezainis, we don't give her mezainis. On that, Omalei Rabbi Yechon responded, Pasrisu b'Kulei Hai? That's what such a contrived interpretation you give for the halacha of our Mishnah? That's told about only when we heard that he's dead? That's what's called a deichik teretz. That's hard to say that's why we're giving her mezainis is because we heard that he's dead. However, a different version, the other way around, kiyasa Ravin, when Ravin came, he said, the other way, he said that maisa b'lefnei Rebbe b'beisharam v'loy pasuk l'mezainis. It was Rebbe that didn't give mezainis. Whereas Lefnei Rabbi Shmuel b'tzipari upasuk l'mezainis, and Rabbi Shmuel gave the mezainis. And on that, Rabbi Yechanan, he asked Maro, Rebbe shloy pasuk la. Where did Rebbe see fit not to give the mezainis? Because da'alei nech l'kulchanu b'nei kam g'dayil melein shvur. The homachlik is regarding if we make the woman take an oath or not. Av mezainis yavin la, but sustenance we give. And that only Rabbi Shimon bar Abba, he said, Kvar tigum Shmuel b'vavol. Shmuel already gave the interpretation in Bavel. It's k'tok ma'kesh Hashem b'shemes. And that Rabbi Yechon asked, Amalei pasriza b'kula hai? Such an interpretation that's limited in its context, that's how you interpret our Mishnah? But the Gemara concludes, V'helchasak ha'vasei d'rav d'aloch ha'faz like Rav, u'paiskin mezainis le'eshesesh. That when the husband goes overseas and the woman is claiming I need food to live, that we go ahead and we set for her sustenance from her husband's estate. Moreover, v'helchasak ha'vasei d'rav huna amarav, d'amarav huna marav, y'chayli isha shetem ba'ala, which was a related context we spoke about in Amud Aleph, but it's a different halacha, that a woman could tell her husband, that's her option. She could say, look, I'm not going to take sustenance from you, and therefore my earnings, which I make 10 times the amount you make, I'm not giving to you. That's her option, because the whole point of that transaction was only for the benefit of the woman, which generally her earnings don't cover how much food she needs, but if she wants to earn more money and not give it to the husband, she could say that and not take sustenance from him. And finally, a different halacha of Hilchasek Avasei D'Rav Zvid regarding Bekunya, where the Amar of Zvid, Rav Zvid said, Hani Mane D'Kunya. These earthenware vessels that are plated, that are covered in lead. So he said that, Chivari V'uch Mishari. the white and black ones are permitted regarding halachas of tarfis, of treif. The reason being is because the lead is a smooth covering over earthenware. Now, generally, earthenware is problematic because it takes in bleias and it can't be kashered properly. But when it's covered with this lead, so it's a smooth covering on the earthenware, and it doesn't allow anything to be absorbed in it, so there's no problem about kashas with it. But yuruki asiri, but the green type of these vessels are forbidden regarding the halachas of, let's say, chametz and pesach, or treifas when it was cooked with by a non-Jew, or regarding yayin nesach. Now, the reason being why the green one is different, because it's mixed with alum, which is inside the lead, which is very strong, and it makes holes in the earthenware. Thus, it does have pores that allow the whatever is non-kosher or chametz to be absorbed inside. And that's why the yeruki would be forbidden to be used if it was used in, let's say, on Pesach, if it had been used with chametz, or was used by a non-Jew to be used, because, again, since it gets into the earthenware, and the earthenware can't be kashered, so therefore that would be forbidden. However, v'lo yomarin, we didn't say that, let's say, the white and the black one are permitted, ela delesbahu kartufni, only if there's no cracks in it. But if there's cracks, then obviously even the white and black one would be problematic, because even though it's a smooth finish and it can't absorb, since there's cracks, it would get into the earthenware where then the pot you're cooking with would have tarfa, since it's something non-kosher, which cannot be koshered, can't go ahead and heat it up to get it out, and therefore even then the white and the black ones would be forbidden.